Good morning, and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. This morning, we're going to turn back to Nehemiah chapter 9 and look at another chapter talking about the greatness of God that we serve and that we come together on Sunday to worship. I hope that you've been enjoying our studies of these chapters that speak of the greatness of God in Christ to encourage us to obey Him and come and worship Him. In the book of Nehemiah, after Nehemiah comes back to help the children of Israel in Jerusalem rebuild the walls around 445 BC, after the walls are finished, in the seventh month, the people gather together in chapters 8, 9, and 10, and they do a great thing with regard to the Word of God. In chapter 8, in the seventh month, they gather together to read the Word of God and to obey it. In chapter 9, in the same month, on the 24th day of the month, they confess their sin as it relates to the breaking of God's Word. And then in chapter 10, they make a covenant to keep the Word of God and to obey it. So they read it, they admitted that they were not following it, and they made a covenant to keep it. Nehemiah chapter 8, 9, and 10. A great set of chapters there talking about the proper relationship toward God's people and God's Word. And in chapter 9, the Levites gathered the people together, and we're going to begin reading in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 5. We're going to go down through this chapter that's a public confession of sin. It's as if the crowd were publicly confessing their sin before God and asking God to help them at this time that they have come back from the captivity. And you're going to notice a theme in this chapter, and it is the theme for our lesson today. This great God that we serve is a loving, kind, merciful God, even in the midst of times when His people sin against Him. He continues to be loving and kind and generous and gracious and merciful. And it's a great reminder for us today. We serve that same kind of God today. And He's giving us time. Peter says in 2 Peter 3, He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The time that we have now is an exhibition, a showing of His loving kindness, graciousness, mercy, love, and we need to respond appropriately in obedience and worship to Him. But I want you to notice as we go down through this chapter that theme of how God always is caring for His people even though they don't care for Him. And we serve that same kind of God today. And you're going to notice in this chapter that their prayer is kind of like a history lesson. The prayer will start with God's creation of the world all the way back in Genesis 1 and verse 1. It will come down through the calling of Abraham in Genesis 12 and following. It'll talk about the exodus of Israel from Egypt in the book of Exodus. It'll come down through the conquest of Canaan in the book of Joshua. It will talk about the period of the judges in the book of Judges. It'll come down to the period of the kings. And you can read about that in 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles. The period of the kings all the way up to the period of coming back from the Babylonian captivity. And that's covered in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. And so it's like a history lesson from the creation and the call of Abraham all the way down to the return from the Babylonian captivity. And all along the way, in this prayer, in this public confession of sin, is the providence and the preservation of God for His creation and for His people. He does the same thing today. That's the great God that we serve. And we don't need to be like God's people that we're reading about in this chapter, who just constantly ignored God and turned their back on God and disobeyed God. We need to respond in a better way to God's loving kindness and grace and mercy and preservation. So, let's read this great chapter and learn some lessons today. In Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 5, the Levites, and they're named there, they gather the people together and they say to them, "Stand up and bless Jehovah your God from everlasting to everlasting. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise." And so he is praised and blessed, and primarily it's going to be for his love and mercy and graciousness and loving kindness in preserving his people. So, verse 6, "Thou art Jehovah, even thou alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, and the earth, and all things that are thereon, and the seas, and all that is in them, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee." So, beginning with God's creation, all the way back in Genesis 1 and verse 1. And there's something interesting here in verse 6, and that is that God preserves them all. That really does become the theme of the chapter. God not only creates something, but preserves it, keeps it going. And God not only created the nation of Israel, but kept it going. And that really is the theme of this chapter. And what they're confessing is not only their sin, but the fact that through the history of the people of Israel and through their history, starting with the nation building in Abraham, God was always preserving them and they were always turning their back on him. And so it's not just a confession of sin, but a confession of the greatness of God and his mercy and long-suffering. And he could have at any moment gotten rid of this people, wiped them out, and started over again with some other people, but his long-suffering and grace and mercy are confessed here. We serve that same God today. So starting with creation in verse 6, and then the call of Abraham, the beginning, the foundational blocks of the building of the nation of Israel. Verse 7, "Thou art Jehovah the God who didst choose Abraham and brought him forth out of the Ur of the Chaldees." This is Genesis chapter 12. "And gave him the name Abraham, and found in his heart faithful before thee, and made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Jebusite and the Girgashite, and gave it unto his seed. And thou hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous." Notice again a couple of other themes that come out here that are going to show up in the rest of the chapter. Abraham was faithful. He wasn't sinless, but he was a man who walked by faith. And his overall life from beginning to end is a walk of faithfulness in God's word, obedience. In contrast to that, Israel after him was unfaithful. They were disobedient. So notice that. And then notice that God made a covenant with him. He would give him a land, a nation, and a seed promise. And God made a covenant at Mount Sinai with the nation of Israel. Today, we have the new covenant of Jesus. And so there's a covenant that has stipulations and conditions and rewards for obedience and punishments for disobedience. We have a covenant today, the new covenant, the New Testament gospel. "And you have performed thy words, for thou art righteous." Again, God creates something and then he preserves it. God makes a covenant and he performs his end of that covenant. He upholds his end of that covenant because he is righteous. And so this chapter is not just simply a public confession of sin, but a public confession also of the greatness of God. He is righteous, he preserves, and he performs his words in the midst of a people who are constantly rejecting him and revolting and rebelling against him. So today, friends, people can reject, rebel, and revolt against God, but he will always hold out his hand of salvation to you if you will come and obey him. Now, there's a coming judgment day when Jesus returns, and that invitation will no longer be. That period of preservation and performing and long-suffering will end. You need to respond before that day comes. So, starting with Abraham in verse 8, and then look at the nation of Israel. Starting with the Exodus from Egypt. Thou sawest the affliction of our fathers in Egypt. So now we're up to Exodus chapter 1 and 2 and following. And heard their cry by the Red Sea, and showing signs and wonders upon Pharaoh, that the 10 plagues, and all his servants, and all the people of the land. For thou knew that thou dealt proudly against them, and didst get a name, as it is this day. And thou didst divide the sea before them, the crossing of the Red Sea, in Exodus 14, so that they went through in the midst of the sea on dry land, and their pursuers that thou cast into the depths, as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, in a pillar of cloud thou led them by day, and a pillar of fire by night, to give them light in the way wherein thou shouldest go. Thou came down upon Mount Sinai, and spake with them from heaven, and gave them right ordinances, and true laws, and good statutes and commandments. So now we're up to Exodus 20 and the Ten Commandments and the chapters that follow. And made known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commanded them commandments and statutes and a law by Moses thy servant, and gave them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst. And so you've got Exodus 16, the story of manna, and Exodus 17 and Numbers 20, providing water for them. Commanded them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hast sworn to give them. You see how God takes care of his people. But in verse 16, we have the little word, but. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their neck. It's a confession of sin in this chapter, but it's also a confession of the greatness of God's love and provision and mercy and grace. So Abraham, and then the Exodus from Egypt. And you'll notice, by the way, that God's law, it's the same thing for the New Testament, but God's law in the Old Testament is described as right, true, and good. Right, true, and good. A lot of times people read the laws and the commandments of God in the Bible, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, and they view that as something that is so restricting that it's almost as if God is enjoying keeping mankind from having a good time, and he just sees how much he can burden man's life and make it just such a terrible life. But that's not the case, friends. When you look at all of the laws of God, when they do restrict us, when they do tell us not to do this or to do this, it is right and true and good. It's for our good. It's what is best for us. So we need to think about it and understand it that way, not the other way. Now, let's continue to look at the history of Israel. Verse 13. But they and our fathers dealt proudly. Now we're going to talk about the wilderness wanderings. So the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers, recording the wilderness wandering. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their neck and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey, neither were they mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their neck, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. There were times when they wanted to go back to Egypt. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and forsook them not. That really is the theme of God in today's lesson. Look at that again. Look at how he is described, ready to pardon or forgive, the same today, abundant in loving kindness, the same today. Forsook them not, that's the same today. Friend, you have to decide whether you're going to obey or disobey, whether you're going to be repentant or whether you're going to be rebellious. Verse 18, and when they had made them a molten calf, or Exodus 32, and said, this is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt and had wrought great provocations. Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from over them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheld not thy manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. This is the first of two places in this chapter where the Israelites at this time, in the days of Nehemiah, they admit that God gave his people the Spirit, the words of the Spirit, to instruct them. This would be through the various prophets that they had. In this time, of course, it would be Moses and others, Elijah and Elisha, and the writing prophets of Isaiah and Jeremiah and the minor prophets. God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, was in them to prophesy and to preach, and it instructed them. So God not only provides physically and things like that, but he gives his law to instruct, and he does that today. We are instructed by the New Testament. We've just got to get our Bibles open and read it, and it will instruct us in the good way to go. Verse 41, yea, 40 years thou didst sustain them in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing. Their clothes grew not old, and their feet swelled not. Moreover, you gave them kingdoms and peoples which thou didst allot after their portion. So they possessed the land of Sihon, even the land and the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. Now we're down toward the latter part of the book of Numbers, and we read about those conquests there. The children also multiplied thou as the stars of heaven, and brought them into the land concerning which thou said to their fathers that they should go in to possess it. Now we're up to the book of Joshua and the conquest of the land. So the children went in and possessed the land, and thou subdued it before them and the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanite, and gave them into their hands when their kings and the peoples of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took fortified cities and a fat land, and possessed houses full of all good things, cisterns hewn out, vineyards and olive yards and fruit trees in abundance, so that they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted in themselves in thy goodness. This was all God's goodness. So how should we respond to God's goodness? It's the same today. How do we respond when our parents do something good for us? How do we respond when someone else does something good for us at work? How should we respond when God does something good for us in sending his son to die on the cross for our sins and giving us the New Testament and a host of other spiritual blessings? We need to respond in obedience, not rebellion. And so they were made filled and fat with God's goodness. You'll also notice another repeated word in today's lesson, the word gave. Every so often in these verses, you gave them this and you gave them that. This was all God's giving from God's goodness. Everybody knows about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. People need to wake up and think about all of the things that God has given and continues and will in the future give, but you have to respond in the right way. So now we have from creation and the call of Abraham and the Exodus and the wilderness wandering, and the conquest of the land of Canaan. Let's keep reading in this condensed history of Israel, if you will. Verse 26. Nevertheless, it's just like the word but back up in verse 16. All the great things that God was doing in bringing them out of Egypt, but they dealt proudly and hardened their necks. And so they come into the land and they're filled with God's goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee and cast thy law behind their back and slew thy prophets that testified against them to turn them again unto thee, and they wrought great provocations. Therefore thou delivered them in the hand of their adversaries who distressed them. This is the period of the judges. And in time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heard from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors. That's the judges. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jer, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, Samson, Eli, Samuel. The judges, men, and in the case of Deborah, one woman, to raise them up and deliver them from the hand of their adversaries, but also to teach them important lessons to come back and serve the Lord. God didn't have to do that. He could have just ignored their cry when they were being oppressed by their adversaries, but he listened and he raised up those individuals to help them. But after they had rest, they did evil again. And that's what we call the sin cycles of Israel in the book of Judges. They are oppressed. They have to serve someone. First of all, they sinned. And then because of their sin, God allows them to serve other people. And then they offer up supplication or prayer. And then God raises up a Savior that leads them to salvation. But after a little while, the cycle repeats itself again with sin. And then it goes to service and supplication and a Savior and salvation. The sin cycles of Israel. And we've got to get out of that cycle. We've got to stop that behavior. But yet, that's what they did. So after they had rest, verse 28, they did evil again before thee. Therefore, left thou them in the hand of their enemies so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heard from heaven, and many times didst thou deliver them according to thy mercies. We keep seeing this word mercy. We keep seeing the word loving kindness and goodness. We serve the same kind of God today. And by the way, with regard to members of the church today, if there is sin in our life, we need to get that out of our life and we need to come back to God. He stands ready to forgive. We need to come back. He has not written us off. As I said earlier, there will come a day when there is no opportunity, but right now we can come back to Him. He stands ready to forgive. But many times you delivered them according to your mercies. Verse 29, and testified against them that thou might bring them again unto thy law. Come back to that right ordinance, true law, good statute and commandment. Come back to that. Come back to the right way, the true way, the good way. Come back to that. Get out of that habit of sin and that life of sin. So there were times when God sent individuals, and they weren't just simply preachers, but they were calling Israel back to His law. Come back to the law of God. And that's a good part of my work today. When I take the New Testament, I call people back to the law of Christ. We don't come up with a new standard. We're just simply calling people back to that standard that was given as the law of Christ. And so men, prophets and prophetesses would from time to time be raised up and sent by God to come back to the law of Moses, come back to God's law. Verse 29, yet they dealt proudly and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thine ordinances, which if a man do, he shall live in them. Spiritual life comes by living by God's law, but we've got to do them. And withdrew the shoulder and hardened their neck and would not hear. Yet many years thou didst bear with them. Again, the long-suffering and the mercy and the grace and the loving kindness you bore with them and testified against them by thy Spirit through thy prophets. Yet would they not give ear, therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the peoples of the lands. Nevertheless, in thy manifold mercies, thou didst not make a full end of them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. The fact that Israel came back after the Babylonian captivity shows that God did not make a full end of them. There was a remnant that remained in Babylonian captivity, and they came back. And that's what the books of Ezra and Nehemiah are about. But again, your manifold mercy. God wanted to keep his people alive until Jesus Christ came and fulfilled that seed promise. And so he was with them even during what we call the intertestamental period, all the way through till the coming of Jesus Christ. And he bore with them. He put up with so much. We're talking, if you're talking just simply starting with the Exodus, for example, you're talking 1,500 years, roughly, 1,500 years, putting up with his people. We're not talking about a day or a week or a month or a few months or even a few years, 1,500 years until Jesus comes. And it's a loving and merciful God. But you don't have to listen. And sometimes they did not listen. And then verses 32 through 38 brings this story up through the period of the kings and being taken away into Assyrian captivity, verse 31, and Babylonian captivity, and the last part of the chapter coming back during the period of the restoration. And at the end of the chapter, they make a promise and a covenant to keep God's word. Friends, you serve a loving, gracious, merciful, long-suffering God. He's giving you his word right now through the New Testament. You've got to come to it while you can. He's waiting for you to do that. And those of you who are serving him and coming and worshiping him on the first day of the week, remember this great, loving, and merciful God that you get to come worship each first day of the week. I'm glad that you've joined us on the program. I hope you've been reminded of the great God that we have to serve. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.